first. Get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Hi and welcome to the near post. We are talking football. We're talking soccer ball, we are talking Australian football. We respect all codes. We are talking primarily soccer.
We are talking the football.
Across the Australian Community Radio Network. And that voice that you can hear is Nick Cumston. Welcome, Nick Cumston.
Thanks, Paddy. How are you?
Good, very good. And just to confuse things, I've got another Nick in the studio, Nick Ames. How are you, Nick?
All right, thanks, Paddy.
So what we have is we have Cumston, we have Ames. And to differentiate you guys...
Other Nick prefers Nick Jr.?
Right, yes, Nick Jr.,
definitely
Nick Senior.
Nick Jr.
The other one is Nick Cumston is statistics man, numbers man, and Nick Ames is essentially football trivia man. That's the way I distinguish you guys.
He's our man from the coast.
he's heavily engaged with Central Coast Mariners. Now, coming up in the next half hour, we've got all the news.
So much news. It's awesome.
The Asian Champions League and the coaching merry-go-round. But before we get in, this weekend, I don't know about you guys, but for me it was a bit of a sad weekend. I essentially, it was the first week away from the A-League.
It felt a bit empty, didn't it?
So what did you guys do to fill the space? Nick Cumston, I believe... You went and got yourself a nephew.
I did. You know, it takes a fair bit of pre-planning to coincide this with the end of the season, but no.
It's nice that the little fella waited.
Saturday morning, little Thomas Cumston arrived, went and saw the little guy on Sunday. Yeah. It's all good. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Big respect to Thomas and his dad, Andy, and his mum, Lex.
Yeah, he's a big little boy. I reckon he could be a centre-back like his dad.
Really? I've played football with his dad, and his dad is all elbows.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, dangerous, sharp elbows. Nick Ames, you celebrated the week by working.
Yes. I'm a Macca's boy for the last 4.5 years now. I worked 6:10 Saturday morning, 6:02 Saturday, 7:05 Sunday, 8:04 yesterday and 6:04 today.
Did they crush you into the dirt?
I was pretty tired after I got home this afternoon, I have to say.
But it's okay because the pay's great, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. $15 an hour. I can't beat that.
How do you reconcile your many hours at Macca's with your many hours playing football? What do you do? Just cut back on sleep or watching football rather?
Cut back on sleep is pretty much the only solution here.
All right. Well, I'm just. If you do have an inquiry about working at McDonald's, financial news, or birthing, or even football, or you'd simply like to tell us how much you like the show, you can do so on our email, nearpostradio, all one word, @gmail.com. Alternatively, you can catch the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com and on iTunes, as well as halftimeheroes.com.au. Nick Cumston, you cover the email. Have we received much email today? Normally we receive a few spamming emails.
Look, I haven't checked this afternoon, but we have received a range of interesting, primarily business opportunities through the...
Excellent. Well, so we got some business opportunities, because last time was very much gambling focused, and then there was the week where we got a lot of penis enlargement emails.
Mm. No, there's some unique... apparently through some mysterious circumstance, people in Africa have heard about the show and think that we might be able to help them spend some unexpected windfall of $10 million.
We should do that. Is it a minimum outlay?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been wondering if it's enough to purchase an A-League team, and if so, which one?
That's right. And every week we do a dedication, and this week... I'm going to dedicate it to your nephew, Thomas Cumston, who's going strong, alive several days now.
Is it full name's actually Thomas Millerad Cumston, named after Millerad's his grandfather, who played for Red Star Belgrade.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. big respect on that.
Yeah.
And you know, I was looking for the link into football, and there it is.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. His grandfather did play.
Yeah,
he was
a
pretty good player, as
he was. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's definitely a strong connection, and The other thing we try to do is go through, and I'd like to ask the guys their favourite Twitter account or media outlet. How do you get your football fix? And Nick Owens, this is particularly pertinent to you.
Well, obviously, I am not very active on my Twitter account. We've discussed this several times before.
I think I use this just to to goad you into becoming more active.
Last week, I mentioned one of my favourite blogs. I'm going to go with another similar site. It's called In Bed with Maradona. It's a collection of football culture.
Is it what I think it is?
It's a collection of football culture blogs from around the world. Like, you have writers from like Argentina and Brazil and even as far as Russia writing like about local clubs and all that sort of stuff. Their rules are you can't write about match reports. So it's all like history and like how football and culture link together. Oh. And it's a really interesting blog.
In bed with Maradona.
Yeah, In Bed with Maradona.
And it's not driven by Maradona? It's not
No. Nothing to do with Maradona except the title.
Well, mine's much less interesting than that. But the past week, Ultimate A-League Twitter account has just been compulsive following. There's big news almost every day.
I follow those, and yeah, they're one of my main ones for getting information. But in terms of Twitter accounts, one of my favourites is Chipperfield, Scott Chipperfield, the bus driver from Wollongong.
He
puts out some good tweets, and if you're that way inclined, follow Chippers. Now, just before we do move on from blogs, it's worth saying that the Near Post blog is continually running and has come out with a couple of really good articles. The latest one is the FFA ? When will the A-League clubs make money? And that's Eamon writing that out and really, in Eamon's own way, driving controversy. And the second blog that he's put out I quite liked was 5 Things the A-League Needs in Season 8. So he's always looking forward. Now,
I've got to say, Fozzie's pretty feisty on Twitter as well.
As he
is on virtually every other.
I have my issues with Fozzie because I quite like his Twitter account, except he tends to go beyond the requisite 140 characters.
He just puts posts, and he doesn't do them in like the reverse order that you should. So he appears the right way.
Frankly, Fozzie brings the crazy.
Fozzie, if you're listening, and no doubt you are, succinct and concise. We love your work, but just try and make it succinct and concise.
What do you do?
Moving on, we've got all the news this week, and like we were saying, there is a fair bit. We're going to go to the news, then we'll talk the ACL, and then we are going to go into a roundup of what's been happening in this already just 1 week off of the A-League, and there's an enormous amount of things. I just wanted to ask everybody to slow down. We've got a long off-season to go.
I know.
And,
it's going crazy.
I'm really not keen on them getting all the news out all in 1 week. What are we going to discuss in other radio shows? We could just go back over last week. So, Nick Cumston, the news.
Well, there's a ton of news, and literally the news hasn't stopped coming in this afternoon. I was catching up with it before we came into the studio tonight. But the big news tonight, firstly, that Melbourne Victory the clean-out has started. We'll cover this some more later on. But
the clean-out started?
Started already, yeah. Grant Brebner and Ante Kovic released about an hour ago.
Okay, great.
So, first bit of news. Second bit of news, even bigger, that Nathan Tinkler and Frank Lowy have kissed and made up.
It's all good now.
It's a mental image that'll haunt me when I try and go to sleep tonight, but at least FFA has been able to reconcile with one of the crazy, a bit morbidly obese billionaires that have been involved with the A-League.
Going around. So we've got the two in bed, and we're just waiting for the triumvirate.
Full commitment to Newcastle Jets going forward.
Wow, okay. Well, actually, that's very, very good for the A-League. It's good for Newcastle.
That's fantastic news. There's a bit of speculation about what's gone into it, and I think that's worth talking about later on. So that was the news this afternoon. There's been a bit of recruitment. Your Perth Glory have signed 3 players this week.
Perth Glory have launched themselves into a youth offensive, and I'm not quite sure how I feel about it. But yeah.
Look, they've got Nick Ward from Wellington, former Melbourne Victory player as well.
Former Perth Glory player.
Inaugural young player of the season for the A-League, I think.
Solid campaigner, but just recently They've got Adrian Zara from Melbourne Heart, which frankly is a remarkable effort that a player with only one leg after what Kevin Muscat did to the other one.
Maybe they've replaced it with a robotic one, how it goes.
We have the technology. So they've signed him. His form apparently with the Hearts Youth League team was pretty impressive late in the year. And I reckon the best signing of the lot, Chris Harrold from Gold Coast United.
I think you're right. And Van der Brink, the defender, rates him quite highly. Mm. And played with him in Gold Coast.
I had him in my fantasy team during the season. But boy can run. He's genuinely quick. And I think Perth need that to diversify from the hoof it to Shane approach. So that's Perth Glory. More big news. Central Coast and Sydney FC are in a tug of war over Graham Arnold. Apparently Sydney have put an offer to him of around $400,000 a year, and the Mariners are looking for loose change behind the couch to see if they can match it.
Well, where are they finding this loose change? I hear
Singo.
Advertising guru John Singleton has revealed he's going to help the Central Coast out.
Mm. Nick, you're our man on the coast. How do you feel about this?
Look, Singleton's been a big part of the Central Coast community. Like, obviously, he's got the naming rights for Blue Tongue Stadium, Vermeer's brewery business or whatever. He's a rugby league fan. He's admitted that, but he recognises that the Mariners is a big part of the community.
Well, how are they making any money off the stadium if they don't have any teams playing there?
Last
I checked, there's not a rugby league team playing there.
It's true. So at least they've got that locked down.
But yeah, so Arnold to Sydney, possible. Peter Turnbull sent out an email to Mariners members today saying that he'd tabled a counteroffer. We'll see what happens.
Mm. Well, hold your fire, guys. I want to get into that in more detail in the second half of the show.
More big exciting news. Scott Chipperfield, he of the Twitter account, has said that he's interested in, A, coming back to the A-League, and he's not interested in getting a lot of money, which I think would be very exciting news for a lot of people. But, I mean, I'm sure he's not wanting to play for free, but there's a queue of clubs rumoured to be linked with him, including the Heart, Sydney, and the new West Sydney team.
Well, you know, he's kind of entitled to try something else. As a bus driver from Wollongong, he certainly has achieved a lot. I think Basel won their third straight league title recently.
It's 6 in 7 years that he's been there.
Yeah, like, yeah. So, you know, he's
been one of my favourite Socceroos later in the year. I know we've got favourite Socceroos as a dedicated show we're going to do later in the year, which I'm really looking forward to, but yeah, Scott Chipperfield.
Well, it's certainly somebody whose hairline I've watched with great interest over the years.
I think he'd be a fantastic addition for the new West Sydney team. Anyway, so A-League's finished, but the overseas leagues are continuing. Tim Cahill scored in Everton's 4-0 humiliation of Mark Schwartz's Fulham on Saturday night.
Super Timmy.
Chris Hurd's Aston Villa are still precariously position just above the relegation zone, and had another turgid nil-all draw with West Bromwich Albion. And there's a couple of A-League youngsters who are being rumoured for moves overseas. The Borussia Mönchengladbach have had a trial with Terry Antonis, and the Melbourne Heart youngster Curtis Good has apparently had a successful trial with Newcastle in the Premier League.
Excellent. All right. Well, just before we do move on to Asian Champions League, you're on the near post. We are talking football. And we've got Nick Cumpston here as the stats and numbers guy, and Nick Ames as the football tragic. Now,
I like to think that as well as numbers, I have a wide range of quite strong opinions on a number of football topics.
You made me laugh so hard I threw my pen away. Nick Ames, the ACL cometh. This show is broadcast Tuesday, but podcast later, so some people might be listening to it later on. Central Coast Mariners, are they playing tonight?
Yep, they're taking on Tianjin Teda. Mustafa Amini's last home game for the Central Coast Mariners.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
The Afro.
That's sad.
The club's offered a 2-for-1 ticket deal to try and get a decent send-off for him because the last ACL crowd was pretty disappointing. I'm hoping for a win. We got a draw away from home in in China in below freezing temperatures. So hopefully we can pick ourselves up from the humiliation from Seongnam and get a win.
Talking humiliation, they really have struggled in the ACL. They're in Group G, and I think they're fourth in the group. So is this game just about pride? Or is it about hair as well?
I think we still actually do have a chance. We are bottom of the group, tied with Tianjin on 3 points. However, Nagoya are only 3 points away because there's been a lot of draws in this group.
Well, actually, both the two top teams in the group are only three points away.
However, we still have to play Nagoya. So if we win this game and then we go to Nagoya and win that, we're guaranteed a spot in the next round.
So a romping home victory tonight.
I cross all my fingers.
Hoping, predicting, same thing sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, tell me all about Adelaide, because they are Adelaide. The Wizards.
Adelaide's fantastic campaign romping the ACL continues. They're just defying everything I know about Australian football. Three wins, one loss. That was only a narrow defeat to Pohang, I think it was.
Have they already clinched qualification for the next round?
No, they're still in with a shot of finishing third in their group, because they're first on 9, and then you've got Pohang and Bundikor behind them on 6 each. They play Bundikor tonight at Hindmarsh.
This is quite a strong group, can I just say?
It is. Gamba Osaka are the currently fourth in the group. They're an Asian powerhouse.
So Nick Cumston, has Cozzy got his coaching licence yet?
Well, he coached the last game, didn't he? So that would seem to indicate that, you know, he's on board finally. He's, you know, done his little apprenticeship and hats off to him.
I think I ask this every time we talk about Adelaide. And I'm not expecting an answer, but I feel the need to put it out. How are they doing this? They've got an incredible record.
It's just insane. Obviously, they're sitting a lot deeper than the Brisbane or Mariners are in each of their games. However, it is paying off massively. So it's a similar thing to what Aurelia Vidmar did for them when they met on that run in 2008. But yeah, it just shows that sometimes the better football isn't successful on this sort of stage.
Yeah, they're very stingy. They've conceded 2 goals in 4 games. They've only scored 5 goals, which isn't a ton, but they've been effective, spreading the ball out wide and then bringing it back into the middle. Yeah, I didn't see it coming.
So another one of the games coming up is Brisbane Roar versus FC Tokyo.
Yes.
Big game.
Now, Rado Vidicic is taking over. It will be his first game as coach. He's been the assistant coach to Postecoglou. Been interested in the stuff he's got to say. Nick Ames, what have you heard on this game?
Well, Brisbane have become famous for their sticking to the FFA philosophy of the 4-3-3 with the one defensive midfielder and the two attacking midfielders.
And they've been very successful in the A-League.
Yes.
Well, I mean, ultimately successful. Yeah. They won the crown.
Back-to-back.
However, and this week, Vidicic has come out and said that he's going to switch it around, so he'll play with two defensive midfielders and one attacking pivot.
Nick Senior, you know this stuff. Is this craziness?
I don't think so. I mean, we've just finished talking about how successful Adelaide have been playing deeper, and look, Brisbane have very much had the approach of dominating their opponents in the A-League in the centre of the park, but you know, we've clearly seen from their first 4 games that that's not a viable strategy in the ACL, and they're adapting their approach.
What they're doing is they're bringing more defensive midfielders in. They're clogging up the midfield, so you won't a player like Eric Partaloo won't be touching the ball as many times as he will.
Which is
he normally does, rather.
As a shame, and they won't.
But he should be pushing forward as well.
He should be.
All accounts.
Look, it's not as creative a formation, I don't think, but Brisbane is still a good team. They've still got players capable of causing trouble on the break. So, yeah, I'm okay with it.
So, apparently, Enrique is not going. His wife's just about to have a baby, so he's staying in Australia. But somebody who is going across is two friends of mine, Maz and Rafe, who are going across to Japan. And I've been reading their Facebook updates about their journey to Japan.
Good fun.
And then all of a sudden it just occurred to me as I was sort of reading up for the show that they're big Brisbane Roar fans and they will be in Tokyo for the game. So
that's so much fun.
Everybody look out for them. And big respect for that. Sorry, Rafe, it just clicked just then that you were actually travelling to Tokyo for the game. Well done.
And good fun.
Nice organising of your holiday and travel around those sort of things.
Well, fingers crossed, they've really got to win. They've got to win their last 2 games and win them well, just even to have a chance.
That's true. They're third in their group, is that correct?
Yep, but they're 6 points off second place, so it's
well hopefully
it's do or die.
The new coach, new structure might bring something out, but it, you know, it is very, very tough playing in Asia, yeah. There's no doubt. And I mean, if we take Adelaide as an extreme out of it, Australian sides have really struggled.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, well, moving on. We are talking Australian football. I would like to bring it back home to Australia and just go through what's been a very busy off-season. They've only given us the weekend, but there's been a lot of stuff happening.
We are 9 days into the off-season, and it seems like it's been so much happening.
So Melbourne Victory, they're a team. Mm. They've got a new coach. His name is Ange Postecoglou. He comes with a bit of a reputation. He hasn't stopped to smell the roses. He's gone right in there and he's slicing players out.
Well, he's Brisbane roaring them. He's
roaring them. That's exactly what he's doing.
Came in and clearing out some of the older players that don't necessarily fit with his philosophy. I mean, Ante Kovic was a fantastic pickup. Like, he was almost their recruit of the year, despite some other guy that Melbourne Victory got in the off-season. But he's made a statement. They're going with a younger guy with
Tando Crazy Hands Falapi.
Tando Crazy Hands, and also the young keeper, Lawrence Thomas, who was actually, from what I saw, he was pretty impressive in some fill-in duty.
So Nikhames Brebner's going as well, is that right?
Yes, the midfield destroyer from Melbourne Victory has finally left. Look, obviously...
Played in two title teams?
Yeah, obviously he was... One of the main parts of Ernie Merrick's playing style. So I think this is probably a step in the right direction. Whether Lee Broxham's going to go as well, I'm not entirely sure.
I mean, there's all sorts of questions.
Wouldn't surprise, frankly.
Hernandez, I think, is out of contract. Thompson was expressing his views on Twitter, saying that he was looking for a change.
Harry's, they've got an opt-out clause in his...
Contracts.
Nick Cumson, let's go to one of your opinions. Is this going to work? It worked for Brisbane.
I've got faith. Yeah.
You've got faith.
I think Nick's mainly keen to see Marco Rojas get a run.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see Rojas running with the ball. I think the scheme's going to suit him really well. And I think the structural issues that Brisbane's had, you know, they're tracking back in midfield was a car crash.
So who's going to do better next season, Victory or Raw?
I think Victory will improve. Brisbane will drop a little bit, but I think they'll still be a little bit behind. Like, Victory won't catch up to the Raw quite just yet. Give it another season.
So Nick Ames, is your beloved Central Coast going to come home with a goal?
It's not looking incredibly likely.
Are you going to have a coach?
We will have a coach. Whether or not that's Graham Arnold, I'm not sure.
Who's the backup plan?
Look, there's been a couple of names thrown around. Laurie McKenna to come back.
Really?
That's possible. I don't think it will be. He's been mooted as a director of football for the new Western Sydney team. Another player we've also been linked... Not player, coach. Former player, Tony Popovich, to come back from Crystal Palace, but he has also been linked to Western Sydney.
I think that would be a crazy decision if he
came back. The main problem is that Graham Arnold, if he wants to go to Sydney, he wants to take his coaching staff with him. So we'll lose him, his assistant Phil Moss, and our fitness coach, Andrew Clark, and our goalkeeping coach, John Crawley. That's going to rip the spine out of the back room. Possibly youth coach Tony Walmsley, who led the youth league team to their title last season, could get a run.
And Central Coast have done a fantastic job transitioning kids from the youth league to the seniors.
So with all of these changes, are the Wellington Phoenix, who have been the easy beats, who have been the club that have been most messed around, are they now the most stable club in the A-League?
Funnily enough, yeah.
Oh. I haven't heard a whisper of change from those guys. Like they're continuing with their players.
Some fringe players moving on. They had a pretty small squad last year. You'd like to see them recruit because they were a pretty solid team.
We were writing them off at the start of the year saying that they haven't got the legs to do it, but still a really good season.
Yeah, we didn't see Perth Glory coming either.
Another mediocre season from Wellington Phoenix? If they make no changes, they're going to win their home games and just make the finals.
Far too easy to tell, but unless you see some fresh faces, surely. One really interesting name for the off-season, I think, is the big man, Carlos Hernandez.
I think so as well.
Mm.
So Melbourne Heart, another relatively stable team. They're pretty well placed. They've got Jagancic. If they stay injury-free with many of their players, they could do very well. And then this is where I'm thinking in my head. I switch players around in the teams. Hernandez at Heart. It's good for him. It's good for his family. And he would be a really good addition to their squad.
Yeah, you'd think so. They've got a lot of youth and pace in the team. It'll obviously be a loss if Curtis Good goes to Newcastle, but Elie Babaj was really good centre forward.
I think they've got a lot to build on. Think they could do quite well.
Need a coach.
They do need a coach, as do many others. Another team that needs a coach is Sydney. Now, Nick and his friends are going to do their best to keep Graham Arnold in Central Coast. So Sydney, they just have kept Levitka?
Well, Levitka said he wanted to go home. You can't argue with that.
But did he say that because he was just losing a lot of games?
Or was he going to do a vent ship and go home via Mexico?
Yeah, yes.
Look, you never know, but I haven't really heard who the plan B is if...
I still think Popovich is a possible chance, as well as Aloisi or Corica.
You keep throwing Popovich in. I think he's a media beat up. Yeah. I think Popovich is well ensconced in Crystal Palace. Mm. I think he's going to stay there.
I just don't know how much assistant coaches in the Championship get paid. I reckon if the right offer comes along.
It's all about the platform, isn't it? Like from there, he could go to a Premier League club. He could go to somewhere in Europe, first division in Europe. But this is the right place.
Yeah, maybe, but. Ed, how many times do you get the opportunity to run a team? And if he's getting the chance to, with a new West Sydney franchise, build a team from the ground up, that's a big opportunity. Don't get to do that often.
So in amongst all of this, Western Sydney are floating around. They have zero players right now. They're going to have to pull a team from somewhere. Ante Kovic?
Not a bad choice.
Not a bad start,
but
hey?
But look, Strade does goalkeepers pretty well. There's surely guys overseas that you could look at. I don't know if Brad Jones wants to come back to Australia.
You think he would? He's finally made a mark in Liverpool.
He slipped down to third choice.
After his performance in the FA Cup semi-final, maybe second.
Maybe, but yeah. So look, anyway, there's a lot of good Australian goalkeepers out there. Kovic would be a good fallback option, but I'm really interesting because there's good feedback coming from their community forums that they're doing. So, yeah, it seems to be going the right way.
Okay, well, and I'll leave you with that. And if you're at the near post...
Get there first.
Thank you, guys.
First, if it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.